cross has no plans of his own. The man on the cross has no plans of his own. The man on the cross has no plans of his own. He is an obedient son. Well, I just want to do what I see my father do. Well, I just want to do what I see my father do. Well, I just want to do what I see my father do. Want to be an obedient son. Well, it's not my will, not my will, not my will, but thine be done. Well, it's not my will, but thine be done. Well, it's not but thine be done. Want to be an obedient son. To face, when I see you, when I see you face to face, gonna throw down my crowns and fall on my face. I want to hear you say, well done, my obedient son. The man on the cross has no plans of his own. The man on the cross has no plans of his own. Of his own. We have a
a print, a framed print of an empty cross. That's what it says. It says, no looking back, no going back, no plans of his own. Some friends of ours from El Paso, Texas, gave us that. She's an artist. He was a former Green Beret and a truck driver. He had a route, went from El Paso to Charlotte, North Carolina, once a week. And when she gave that print to us, I said, oh, there's a song there. I will remember your sin no more. You tell him, kid. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. I stand here beside an open door. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. No need to knock on it. Just come on in. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Lay down your burden. Lay down your sin. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Here is a gift I have wanted to give. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. You can die if you like, but I want you to live. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. It is my good pleasure to reach out to you. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. My love has no limit, nor my mercy too. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Not as the world gives do I give to you, and all that I tell you is true. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Drop what you're doing, come after me. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Here's the blood that was poured out for you. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Here's the cross where your sins all died to. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Here's the tomb that could not hold me in. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Here's the Savior who rescues old men. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Drop what you're doing, come after me. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. It was love, not the nails that held me in place. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. I died for you and the whole human race. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. I offer you my life instead of your own. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. A place is prepared for you. It's your new home. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Forgiven, forgotten, set free. Drop what you're doing, come after me. Forgiven, forgotten, set free.
my family and I lived on the road for almost 10 years in a fifth-wheel trailer, and that's how we met Pastor Rick. We would come here from time to time, and then the Lord told us to come off the road and go back to southern Indiana, which is where we were based. And he arranged for us to buy a house, which was a miracle. I didn't know I had credit. And we even got to keep it. That was even more of a miracle. I could tell you stories. But my wife and I started a new ministry down there, Christian Formation Ministries. We felt we needed to start a new one because so all of our friends would know that we were starting something that was built on the foundation of what we've been doing before. And we were traveling all over the U.S. and Canada and going to prisons and churches. And I think I've been in every prison in Vermont at least once, probably more. And we were living in church parking lots, except when we came to Vermont, we were up at the Eden Mills campground, Lakeview, right there on Lake Eden. So that's where it is. It's up on the hill on cinder blocks, and I can stand on my deck and look at the lake, and we've got great neighbors, and it's really good. But back in those days, if we didn't like our neighbors, we could just move. And we had to behave ourselves because we never knew when a deacon would be walking by. And it was good. We saw the Lord do a lot of things. I could tell you stories. But he planted us back in southern Indiana, and we started this thing, and that was about 8 years ago. And amazing things have happened since then. We work with inmates and their families. We teach drug addicts and alcoholics and prisoners how to stop being slaves, how to become free and whole in Christ. So basically, I'm just directing traffic, and Jesus is doing all the heavy lifting. We're a little different than most prison ministries because I made a conscious decision to become part of the criminal justice system in our area. So we have three judges who will release people from prison a year or two early, provided that they do everything I tell them for the next year or two, which is useful. Because even though they may be saved, maybe they got saved in prison, maybe they knew the Lord before, but their life just went in the tank because of the decisions they were making. They may have a strong desire to change their lives, but they haven't got a clue most of the time about what that's going to involve. And there are several traps along the way that I have seen hundreds of times over the years. So when they get out of prison, especially when they get out a year or two early, I'm their big buddy and their best friend, and they're so happy and I'm there and all that stuff. A couple months later, that first decision point comes. They want to do this and they can't do it because that's what sends them back. I say, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Well, I'm not sorry. I said, yeah, you can't do that. You have to do this. So now I'm the big cosmic killjoy. I'm out to ruin their lives. So it's very useful having that. You know, I said, well, remember that contract you signed? Remember what the judge told you? He said, if you insist on doing that, then the next conversation I'm going to have is with your probation officer, and they're going to pick you up and take you back to prison today. I said, you really want to do that? No. So now they're mad at me. You know, I'm their enemy, and they sit there in class, and they glower, and you're killing my joy. You know. But then they have a breakthrough, and maybe for the first time in their lives they've done something different and it worked, and they're in uncharted territory now. They have no idea what to do next, so they get dependent. And I'm their buddy again. I don't know if you know this or not, but 65% of the people in prison and 80% of the people in jail will go back within 3 years. But so far, I just count everybody. If I've had 6 months to work with them, I count it. So far, less than 20% of the people my wife and I worked with have gone back. We've had a couple of deaths. One guy decided he didn't want to do Jesus, he just wanted to do recovery. He says, oh, okay, go ahead. And he did well for a while, but, you know, you reject Christ and there are consequences. He committed suicide. Another fellow didn't want to do it. I said he was stubborn, but I didn't have that judge in the background with him, so he would only call me when he was in trouble. We'd talk. He'd do okay. He didn't do drugs. He didn't go back to prison. One day he hooked up with an old buddy of his, and he shot up the amount of heroin he usually did back in the day when he was shooting up, and he died right there, and junkies stepping over his body until someone noticed he turned blue. And I got to do his funeral. His mother called me, screamed in my ear on the phone, "Is my son in hell?" I said, "No, no, he's not in hell. He made a bad decision and it killed him." And I gave her a letter that he had written to me from prison before I met him. I gave her the letter. I said, "I want you to read that, because that his heart is in that letter. And this is the man he wanted to be. And this is the man that Jesus saw. Because our sin doesn't stop Jesus. He sees us not just the way we are, but the way we're going to be." It was a weird funeral. Half the people there were high. At least. But it was good, so I've become a community chaplain of sort to a whole bunch of active drunks and drug addicts and stuff. So, "I want you to do my funeral, man, when I die." So, well, you keep doing what you're doing, that'll be soon. I also serve on a volunteer basis as the chaplain in one of the state prisons in Henryville, Indiana, and that's great because I get away with everything up there. I have more freedom than if I were an employee. When the superintendent asked me if I'd become their chaplain, I said, "Yeah, as long as I don't have to go on the payroll." He said, "Fine, no problem." Then his next question was, "When can we do a tent revival?" So now we do an annual tent revival when guys get saved and things get really exciting. So the Lord's doing interesting things, you know. So, you know, here I am. I'm an old drunk and drug abuser and 33 plus years ago, and here I am sitting in meetings with judges and people like that. The prosecutor, if I'm interested in working with someone, they won't stand in the way of them getting out of prison. That's amazing to me. It's just so I'm not bragging on myself, but Jesus is awfully busy in Floyd County, Indiana. And there are guys and gals now walking around that used to be in prison. And one guy, 9 years old, his brother put a needle in his arm, got him hooked on heroin. I met him when he was in his early 40s in jail. I've known him for years now. He's been out for 4 or 5 years. He teaches Sunday school at his church. Took him a year to find a job after he got out because he wouldn't lie on his application. You know, you have to put down whether you have a criminal record or not. He wouldn't lie or leave it blank. So it took him more than a year to find a job. You'd be amazed at the job he got. This company hired him as a security guard. He showed me, he had his uniform on. He was showing me his key ring. He had the keys to 2 major museums in downtown Louisville, with millions of dollars of artifacts. He had a branch bank key on there. He was crying when he showed it to me. He says, "Richard, they trust me." I said, "They ought to trust you." He also said it took about a year for the cops to stop pulling over when they saw him walking down the street to ask him what he was doing. Because he comes from a notorious criminal family. His mother's been in prison for dealing. His older brother was sentenced to 50 years. He's a habitual offender. So this is like a miracle, walking around. And he's not the only one, so it's really... I love what I'm doing there, but what it meant was I couldn't travel much anymore. But now I've got all kinds of volunteers and mentors and people that take care of a lot of things, and mostly I have fun, so... It's kind of cool. I can leave town for a couple of weeks and they don't even call me. They said, "Richard, why didn't you call us?" I said, "Well, did I need to?" He said, "No." I said, "Good. Have fun." So, I'm traveling more now, and my family indulges me now that I'm in my 60s. Gone. I was a noisy symbol. Nothing I said or did stood strong for long. But then Jesus came, told me, "Put on your armor." Led me into battle. He planted love in my heart. For this I was made, this I was created, to lay down my life and fall at Jesus' feet. For this I was made, for this I was created, to know the Lord Jesus and Him crucified. Battles go on, war still rages. Of the enemy's defeat, millions have not heard. And though some have fallen, and some have fallen asleep, Jesus' banner advances, and the enemy flees. For this I was made, this I was created, to lay down my life and fall at Jesus' feet. For this I was made, for this I was created, to know the Lord Jesus and Him crucified. A place is prepared, banquet table. A mansion, a home, where all wounds are healed. Bless the wounded one. I love to sing his story. Behold our commander. Behold, behold, behold his glory. For this I was made, for this I was created. Laid down my life and fall at Jesus' feet. For this I was made, for this I was created. To know the Lord Jesus and Him crucified. Pick up your cross, pick up the yoke of Jesus. The yoke that is light, the yoke that brings life. Pick up your life, your new life in Jesus. Oh, the fierce joy of a soldier of love. Oh, the fierce joy of a soldier of love. Oh, the fierce joy of a soldier of love. Joy of a soldier of love. Written an instrumental piece on this called The Song of the Whale. And I was just trying to capture the sounds that they make, and my friends liked it. They said, "Far out, man, whales. Let's smoke some more hashish." But after a couple of years, the Lord told me to take the guitars out of the closet and start writing again. And some of my songs, I was able to put new lyrics to them. Others were beyond redemption. I used to write songs with titles like, "If You Talk in Your Sleep, Don't Cheat on Your Old Lady." "If You Want to Keep the Six-Pack Cold, Put It Next to My Ex-Wife's Heart." You know, really ugly stuff. So. Said, "Lord, I am so glad you scrubbed my hard drive back then. You know, took a lot of stuff out of there I really didn't want to have to think about anymore." But he put something in this. It was, he started doing things to people. And my wife and I started getting testimonies from folks when they were listening to this song. The Spirit of God did something for them. Some people were physical healing, some emotional healing. Some people had issues in their lives they were wrestling with. They couldn't get an answer, and the Lord gave them an answer. Things like that. And some people just fell asleep in church, which is great, because I like falling asleep in church. You know? I mean, the Bible says we should enter His rest. What better place to do it? You know, I'd fall asleep next to my wife on those rare times. My wife and I weren't on the platform, but we were in the congregation. So she'd give me a dig in the arm, you know, wake me up. And she said, "You were sleeping." I said, no, I was resting my eyes. She said, "You were snoring." I said, no, that was my spirit groaning with inexpressible whatever. She didn't buy it. So I won't be less bit offended if you enter Jesus' rest and start snoring. We'll just consider that background. So I'd like to finish my part of this morning's service with this. I don't feel led to lay hands on anyone today. I hope you won't be offended. It's something I rarely do, and I think it's because the Lord has other people to do those things in accordance with the gifts that He gives. I do it when He says go, but if He doesn't say anything, then I just hold back, because there are people here who are gifted in that area. Some people have gifts of healings. I don't have that gift, though the Lord has occasionally used me in that manner. And I would much rather not stand in the way of someone else walking in the gifts that God has given them and the faith that God has planted in their hearts. So I will defer to any of you, and however the Lord leads you from this point on. So let me do this song for you and invite you just to enter in, let the Spirit of God touch you in whatever way He chooses. And then, brother, I'll sit down and we'll just see what He does next. Amen.
Song of the Wheel.
know about you guys, but this is
unbelievable. What a blessing.
Thank you very, very much, Richard. Appreciate it. If any of you have any prayer needs that can come up, Tom, maybe you can help me.